This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Do you say and do things when drinking that you regret the next day? Is alcohol a problem for you or someone you really care about? Over the next hour, we'll find out how people just like you and me found sobriety in AA through sharing their experience, strength and hope. Welcome to AA Live, brought to you by Alcoholics Anonymous.
Kia ora te whanau. Welcome to the AA Live Radio Show. It is wonderful to be here this evening. Now, this is a show that explores the ideas behind a way of recovery through the Alcoholics Anonymous program, one that I am incredibly grateful for because I'm in recovery. Hey, thank you for joining us out there, listeners, from around the motu in the world this evening. I've got a warm welcome to have today to my lovely co-host, Sue.
Kia ora.
How are you, Sue?
I'm good. I'm good and I'm really stoked. We have a guest in the studio
in
this
the
evening.
House.
Yeah.
Welcome, Toby.
Hi.
Lovely to have you here. I'm really looking forward to sharing a bit of your story with our listeners tonight. Toby has been in recovery for over 2 years now, but you may remember we've spoken with Toby before.
Under the pseudonym Kane.
Yes, it was a pseudonym. It was Kane. And we had a really interesting chat, and Kane and I we caught up, I should say, in my car with pizza, and I do believe that we mentioned that at the same time too. So, hey, it's lovely to have you back. Alcoholics Anonymous, it's a service based on alcoholics helping other alcoholics. We do the mahi through a 12-step program where recovering alcoholics support each other. We support each other, or those that want to stop drinking, and we learn how to live life on life's terms. And those 12 steps, when we first walk into the rooms, I don't know about you two, but I thought they were big, and I thought it was big enough just that I'd walked into the rooms. What about you, Toby? Did you look at those 12 steps on the wall and go, oh my gosh, there's just no way that's happening for me?
I don't think so. I think I was just so overwhelmed for coming into AA in the first place that I couldn't take in anything that was happening around me.
Right. I understand that. I think that's quite common. What about you, Sue?
Yes. I had returned to the rooms, if you like. I'd had this sort of a scattering of being in AA, just one or two, twice, if you like, over the 5 years beforehand. And kind of scurried away and thought, no, I'm okay. I just need to slow down or, change my lifestyle or,
manage your drinking.
Manage my drinking or something. But when I came into the rooms here in Otipoti, Dunedin, I did have an inkling on an idea of, there were steps involved and that it would be challenging. But then I was just like, I'm just going to listen to what people have got to say.
Yeah, you were open to it.
Yeah.
But you were willing.
I was willing.
It is. Big W. It does seem to be the big wall that stops people. It's that lack of willingness. You've got to be so willing. So would you like to read the preamble for us tonight?
Absolutely. I'd love to do that. So the preamble for the AA, we always start a meeting physically, usually with this preamble, and I'll just read that out now. So, Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
I love the little fist pump you did then to stay sober. The strength. It's great.
Now, I often say that last sentence, our primary purpose, and yeah, it's really helpful even in the morning or reaching out to other people in their fellowship, weird little text catch up, just always constantly moving in that sort of area. Yeah, nice. Yeah, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, lovely. Mm. That's cool. Hey, I just want to let you know, folks, what you hear tonight are the opinions of those that are here in tonight's show, and they're not the opinions of Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole. We occasionally we have guests who are invited to provide and share their story and experience. However, as a whole, it's us as recovering alcoholics talking about different aspects of our recovery. So please don't hold anything against us, as they would say. Well, actually, I probably used to say that quite a lot. We're going to do the daily reflection for the 4th of March. Here we go. Sue, take it away. You are on the reading today.
I'm back on it. Yeah. Fantastic. Okay, so it's titled Weeding the Garden. And as Jan just said, it's for the 4th of March. So it starts like this. The essence of all growth is willingness to make a change for the better, and that unremitting willingness to shoulder whatever responsibility, this entails. And that's from As Bill Sees It, page 15. And then it goes on to say, by the time I had reached step three, I had been freed from my dependence on alcohol. But bitter experience had shown me that continuous sobriety requires continuous effort. Every now and then I pause to take a look at my progress. More and more of my garden is weeded each time I look. But each time I also find new weeds sprouting where I thought I'd made my final pass with the blade. As I head back to get the newly sprouted weed, and it's easier when they're young, I take a moment to admire how lush the growing vegetables and flowers are, and my labours are rewarded. My sobriety grows and bears fruit.
I love that reading. It's fluffy in the head like me. I just thought to myself, because we're in the third month, I should read step three. So it's step three is made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And one of the big things to remember is as we understood him. That's been mine. And I know you listeners out there have heard Sue and I talk about that aspect before with our higher power and God and that whole side of it, because we talked about that a little bit last month. But weeding of the garden. My garden's constantly being weeded. What about yours, Sue? Okay, going. Oh, I know it's easier
it's
when they're
quite a
young.
Massive metaphor, isn't it? I don't
it's
know.
Huge.
You don't
metaphor.
Want to get out the wet and forget, do you? And just take it sort of, straight through, or your weed eater.
Well,
so no. All jokes aside. What do I take from that? Constant practice, I guess.
Yeah. You know. Absolutely. What about you, Toby? What does that conjure up in your mind?
They were constantly finding new things to progress on and further. Yes, it almost reminds me of step 10, to continuous take inventory and make amends where we see fit.
Absolutely, it is. And it says there it's easier when they're young. And I must say at the beginning, for myself, as my brain started to click in a little bit more, the more things I would remember that I had done and so forth. And it was about getting in and taking a look at what I had, my actions, take responsibility for my actions, and then clean it out, make sure that I was taking note and progressing, growing, bear fruit. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Life today is like a little orchard around me. I don't know about you guys, but we're all at such different levels of sobriety. And I can only say that at 5 years, the fruit really did come into play for me. It's become, like I say, a little orchard around me, if we're going to go with the metaphors of bearing fruit.
Fruit and veggies. Your beetroot.
Look, I wasn't going to name any particular fruit, but thank you, Sue. We can go with the beetroot if you like. And when I think beetroot, I've gone, a bit of pine nuts and feta with it, thanks, and some spinach and maybe some balsamic vinegar.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. But, I don't know. I find that an interesting daily reflection. It's good to stop and look, don't you think? Look at your progress.
Yeah, that's right. And Toby, we were talking earlier in terms of, like, last time you had that korero with Jan, and it's been a little while, and I guess it's a bit of a open question, but, you know, what are your thoughts on that difference and since you've, yeah, the last conversation, I guess?
I mean, the difference between now and the last time I had a yarn with Jan is huge. You know, the growth that's come from that, I suppose, in this metaphorical garden, which is actually my life, is, yeah, it's amazing. Night and day.
Night and day in respect of, are you finding life not as challenging?
I'm finding that there's still massive challenges, but I've now got the toolkit and the people around me to support me through those a lot better, like significantly better than I was able to prior. Like I've just recently had, you know, something come up in my life that would prior to this be devastating and absolutely something I would drink over. Mm-hmm. But, you know, instead I'm, you know, with you two, having a yarn about my recovery. So, yeah, that's the difference that I'm sort of...
Yeah, so rather than picking up a bottle, you're picking up a phone and chatting to other people in recovery. Would that be a good summary?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the first thing I did when it came up was call my sponsor. So, you know, the tools are right there and I know where they are.
Have you found that your community has increased as well? Are you finding that you're becoming more present in your community? Well, obviously, you're sitting here today doing a radio show for people, so that shows something you would never have done before, I'm guessing.
Pretty much, yeah. No, not only is there more people in my life, I'm a bigger presence in people's life. You know, I'm now one of the reliable friends instead of one of the ones that's blacking out every other weekend, you know, can't get to the phone, let alone pick it up and drive somewhere.
I'm curious, have you found that friends have disappeared and the ones that you have become more enriched, or are you still finding your feet on that side of things?
I found a couple of people have disappeared out of my life, but... I've also found that the friends that I had at the time when I was drinking, those friendships are just more genuine because I managed to almost catch my drinking before I would manage to push away the good ones. So those friendships I've managed to develop a lot better.
Nice. What about you, Sue? How are you finding your metaphoric garden?
Yeah, I think what I'm really relishing at the moment, and I've really observed, is this idea of like continuity and sort of evenness. Some people, you know, they call it serenity sometimes in the rooms, but for me, it's just even my daily practice, how I operate, how I behave with people, my work colleagues, things of. Like uncannily, is that the word? Uncannily?
Yeah. It's a good enough word.
Well, weirdly, how about that? It's easier to say. Just more consistent. And I had never thought that would come from sobriety. Because I was just, you know, all in this urgent space beforehand. Things were sort of really high revs all the time and then solving problems that I'd created. And sure, there was a lot of really good things about it, but... You know, that intensity is exhausting, and I was exhausting others and myself. So now, there's more, I'm more regulated, I think, but still having, you know, a really cool time. So that's what I've really noticed in the last month or so.
And in your own, I'll ask this of both of you.
So it's quite a different, it's cool. And I really, because with Toby, I don't come from this area. And in a way, when I walked into AA, I maybe knew one or two people in Dunedin. Tops. My neighbour. And now it's just, you know, that community has really expanded. Mm. And that's been like a real privilege, actually. And it's one of those things, too, that you know, the more you put energy into that and consistency, you know, it just sort of comes back.
One of the things I love about
so much support. Yeah,
I love about the program is actually it doesn't matter where you come from. You can go to an AA meeting anywhere and walk in, and people will. Obviously, you become more encased in it if you're in the region in which you live. But I've been travelling quite a bit lately and turning up at meetings, at different meetings, and there's people are so welcoming. I do love that about the Alcoholics Anonymous community. They just accept you, and we're all on such the same journey. I love it. It's quite amazing.
Mm.
But on a different personal level, are you finding, I think you probably have gone towards it already, so you're finding less drama in life?
We're both raising our eyebrows at each other.
Totally, you are.
And we're silently raising, yeah.
I'm figuring you'll get it in the end.
I know, we'll sort of come to the party eventually. Yeah, there's less drama. I think there's a better way of like looking ahead, which I never could do. I know it sounds kind of spacey, but it's just like I can sort of see things like how they link together. You know, things that you might be thinking about, things, your actions during the day, consideration of other people. So I think I haven't met you before, you both, before I, you know, became sober or was in recovery. So you haven't met me on the other side. Yeah. So
that is the fun part, isn't it? Because we don't know each other as drinkers at being active.
Yeah.
We'd never met each other. We've only actually known each other in sobriety. Mm. I would, you know, we wouldn't have drunk together. We wouldn't have gone out and partied together. And yeah, it's quite bizarre. Mm. So the only person we know is the one that we meet in sobriety.
One question I was going to maybe promote in this little session was, so I came into the AA program, you know, in my, mid, late 50s. And so, you know, I've had a reasonably large, colourful career of regular sort of intake of alcohol and that sort of life, and have worked through my highs and lows before I came into AA, and then it just, you know, increased so I couldn't manage that. But I was just wondering, for someone of a different sort of age group, what was it like? What's it like coming in at a different sort of, at a much, you know, coming into the AA rooms when there's this, you're a younger person? Is that a weird question to ask?
I feel like I get it quite frequently, to be honest. For reference, okay. I am 23.
Yes.
So there's a bit of a significant age gap there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think the last time I caught up with Jan, I was sort of mourning all the things that I didn't do. I had my... I still kind of have it. It's my anti-bucket list of things that I quote-unquote want to do if I relapse, kind of thing, which I'm not striving to achieve. I don't want to do those things. I'd rather maintain sobriety, but, you know, in the off chance that I relapse, I have, like, a bucket list of things I want to achieve. But, I don't know, navigating AA as, or I suppose navigating sobriety as someone who's quite young, there's not as much judgment as people would expect from people my own age. It's probably more family that gets it. Oh, why don't you drink anymore? Oh, you should just, you know, have one with the rest of us, you know.
We'll just take a break. Just you'll be okay.
Yeah, just chill out, like, relax, take a load off, have a cold one, you know. But my friends are significantly less judgmental. In fact, me getting sober has made my friends realize how much of our, like my football team, how many of our activities orientate around drinking as team bonding. And they've gone, oh, we actually need to, like, pull back on that, especially now that we've got quite a few young players coming into our team. You know, they're still in high school, so they can't drink themselves, or legally anyways. So,
changing the culture of that sport, Or that's a fraternity or, you know, that social aspect.
Yeah. So it's been not the reactions I was expecting from people.
Because I was, it just came up last week. I was talking to someone and, they were like, it was that sort of, fear of missing out or what have I given up. Feeling good, feeling great. My life's like getting back on track and everything. And they're a bit in that sort of grey area of confidence, I guess, because they're having to relearn lots of things.
Yeah, I suppose more of the judgment is in my own head of the fear of missing out and the what am I giving up in the sense. But it's like I came to this realization a few months ago, I think. I'm not so much giving up on a life I could have had. I'm embracing the life that I should always have.
Good.
It's a nice way of saying it. It's lovely. You're enriching your life. Do you feel like you're enriching your life, both of you? I certainly do.
On the good days.
Yeah. Fair enough. Hey, we're going to go to some music and let's take a break and we'll be back again.
Fantastic.
You're listening to AA Live on ORFM Dunedin.
Made some mistakes, but I still loved you. I was nothing but good to you. Made some mistakes, but I still loved you. I guess I couldn't do
Well, I kind of like that. That was by an artist called Fred Again, and the title was called Rose, or in brackets, Forgive. Just a British artist, and that came out a couple of years ago. Thought we'd try something different.
Oh, I love it. Love it. Sue's brought the music in tonight, which is lovely. After years of bringing it in, I'm really pleased to have something a little different, and that was a really lovely sound. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about the rewards of recovery and wondering, Toby, if you could sort of share with us what you feel the rewards have been for you so far in this, as time has progressed.
I feel like the biggest one has been my sense of self-worth. So throughout my recovery, or even throughout my drinking, I was horrendously depressed. You know, it was one of the biggest reasons why I drank. And then I came into recovery and, you know, I now had to deal with life without this anesthetic. And by doing the program and making the connections with the people in AA, particularly my sponsor and you know, a couple of other key members that I found have been really important to my sobriety, I've slowly developed this sense of self-worth. I can separate the voices in my head from the voices of, like, people throughout my life that have wanted the worst for me, versus, you know, my own thoughts of maybe I do deserve something good in this life. And I know it's AA doing it as well, because when I've backed off doing the steps, like, I hit pause around step 4, I hit pause again on step 8, and I found myself very quickly back in that deep, dark hole. And then as soon as I was doing the work again, you know, I came out of my shell and I started talking to people again. I'm finally allowing myself to feel some semblance of hope as well, which is, and then, you know, dealing with, you know, people that genuinely care, being a reliable person with, you know, some semblance of hope and self-worth. I'm now navigating an entire new world of feelings that I've never had before.
I have to say, I noticed when you hit that last bit of hope, that when that came into you, I noticed it one day in a meeting, and it made me feel so happy. Just seeing you have an understanding that you are valuable. And you're valuable to the people in the rooms as well. And I just, I really enjoyed that moment. I don't know if I shared with you that you gave that to me, but thank you. It was really nice.
Yep, because from my experience, and I've actually learned so much when I've been in a meeting with you, and because when you share, it's just so
raw,
and it's, well, it's just like, it's just straight, like you, it's, okay, it's raw, but it's just like you don't tell us what you think we want to hear. And that's different, you know. So you tell it sort of how it is for you on that moment, on that time. And that's, I've really learnt from that. Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I find through progress of my recovery, I used to be raw as well. And then you get to a point where you start learning the tools and the tools become natural and you're sharing changes. It's that's amazing when the newcomer becomes so important to people when you've been in for a little bit longer, because you get reminded of what it was like, because you can start living in that talk, the recovery talk, and you, as you heal, well, this is what I've found for myself, as I've healed, I've found I haven't had to be so open and raw about stuff. It's there's a lot more acceptance in my life, so when hard things happen, I know what to do, so I go and talk to my sponsor and I find those tools. But like you've just shared, you know, when you found you weren't going, you had those little pauses and you realised you needed to go and talk to your sponsor. And, yeah, it's going to be enjoyable watching that progress. That happens. I don't know. It just seems to happen naturally.
See, my sponsor gave me an acronym recently, HOOM. So it's willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness. And I quite often forget the M. So you know, I was told that those were the three keystones of recovery. You know, to get recovery, you have to be those things. And so I've just kind of embraced them, you know. AA, I found safety. And in safety, I've been able to be that honest and open and just, you know, bare my soul, because I've also found that that's the way that I heal. I talk, and then all of a sudden I have this emotional revelation, and then I'm crying in a meeting and I don't know why. But then, you know, the next day I'm better.
Yes, a release of the valve, isn't it?
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier that you were using alcohol as a medicine, and I wondered, were you taking meds for your depression and anxiety at all?
No, I wasn't. I grew up in a household that firmly believed that, ironically, it was all in my head, which, yes, it was. That is why it is a mental illness. No, didn't seek anyone out, didn't seek any help. I found when I did seek out help, I got told it wasn't bad enough, or...
just think differently.
Just think differently, you know? Oh, have you tried, like, waking up happy, you know? It's like, cool, those things don't help me with these actual problems that I have. So I just drink to black out, to forget, so I didn't have to feel the things that I was feeling in the moment.
Yeah, I so get that. I was on medication for my depression and anxiety and drinking on it. And, of course, it doesn't work. It's actually quite dangerous. But, you know, that's where that part of the insanity of the disease comes in, where you have to be in control all the time. So, you know, you're still doing what you want. And so the meds don't work.
Or you used to try and match yourself to others, like if you're socialising and that, and then you realise you're quite a different species, or, yeah. For me, it was quite a different thing. I mean, it's not similar. It's not dissimilar to maybe to what you're saying, but, yeah, where am I going with that one?
Yeah.
It was just, I might have.
Do you mean like matching pace, so that way you didn't highlight that you were drinking differently to other people, or?
Yeah, or it was more the reasons why I was there and doing that. Mm. It was great for a moment, but then I shared before, like, I'm addicted to dopamine fixing. You know, I need to just tap in, and I need more and more, whether that's alcohol or all sorts of things. And so that's part of my recovery journey, is identifying that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah,
sure, the alcohol and that was really, really good, but it comes across all sorts of different ways.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it takes us down. It's like a whirlpool, isn't it? You just go but nobody else is in the whirlpool with you. And then you go, But, yeah, it's all fun and games at the end of the day. Tell me, with your journey going through, we were talking about the rewards of recovery, are you finding for yourself, I find for me, as I was saying earlier, people disappear and so forth. Let's talk about family. How does family generate for you now? Are they seeing you as a different person, or have they still got their blinkers on? They see your development?
I don't think I see my family often enough to sort of highlight or to see how they see me.
Right. So let me put it another way. When you interact with your families now, do you guys find that they look at you differently, or your interactions are different with them? Because you have more tools in your tool belt to deal with them.
I think particularly my brother notices a difference within me. But I do notice a difference within myself in the way I interact with, like, my dad and my mum. You know, I don't bite as quickly, or when something does happen, you know, I have people I can go and talk to, and, you know, and be like, hey, this thing's going on. Like, how do I deal with it? Which is, I don't know, new, I guess.
Well, yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I dealt with everything. If it was something that caused me some kind of angst, I would go and have a drink. Yeah, that was how I dealt with everything. I might bite at somebody, or I would just shut off and walk away and go and write myself off. Now, I've learnt to put in boundaries that people know not to. Yeah, my family know now. I suppose it's a different way of managing their issues. About if I say it that way. Turns out I wasn't the main issue.
Oh, I see.
I had issues for sure, but actually they have their own issues. And so finding acceptance of those and not feeling like I had to own everything, because I was constantly told it was my problem. All the problems were my problems. So I don't know. You guys ever have that experience?
Yeah, well, just thinking about the original question too, about like families and I guess recovery and those types of things. I'm very close to my two elder sisters. We don't see each other a lot, but funny enough, I have more regular contact with my sister in London, you know, through socials and whatever you want to do, Instagram, all sorts of things. And she was quite curious about my reasons, in a way, coming into AA, because she didn't realise that I was in trouble. And so she's recently been in New Zealand, so that was good to have those conversations. And then my elder sister, like, I had made amends to her from one of my episodes, if you like. And that was really interesting. Again, it worked out, thank goodness, and so we're closer together. I have a large chosen family.
You know, yeah, my friends
really
are my chosen.
Broad, and and we have all at times, some of us have struggled with addiction, and they've got it in their families, and now they've got one of their best friends, which is me. And so it's all very open, very transparent, and it's very supportive. Yeah.
Many faces, loved by few. Never felt at home, so I seek refuge in you. You took my pain, gave a trade I couldn't refuse. I know Sabi, what's your game? When all I do is run from you, I seem to think you keep on chasing after me. Won't lose your hold, though I have let go for some time. Keep on pushing, cause I hate feeling the need, though. But you misread all my signs, yeah. You won't let go, you won't let go of me. You won't let go, you won't let go, no. You won't let go, you won't let go of me. Oh, 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 oh. Girl used to walking alone, made my way, I got back. Climb the hills with no rope, shed tears, no shoulder to cry. Mommy pray on my matter, boy all over my head. Travel overseas to the unknown, just for better bread. Still I get pride, still I don't change my ways. Won't take a helping hand, though I know it go put food on my plate. Still I get pride, I try to stay away. Cause it's hard to mend my past so hard. You won't let go, you won't let go. You won't let go, no. You won't let go, you won't let go of me. Oh, oh,
Lovely song. So who's that?
That is an artist, Lulu, and it's called Home. It's quite cool.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Afro beats, I love it.
I can see you jumping around the house with that. You're listening to the AA Live Radio Show in association with our friends at Otago Access Radio on 105.4 FM. I am lucky enough this evening to have our guest Toby in. Toby is a young person in recovery, which we don't see a lot of. Most of the average statistic for people coming into recovery is in their 40s. So here in New Zealand, we don't see a lot of young people. So it's always lovely to think, yay, someone's got it so soon. That's my thought anyway, because from myself coming in at 49, I sometimes wish when I was 25 and they told me I was an alcoholic and I went and said thanks, but no thanks, I can manage this, that life may have turned out differently. Not that I have any regrets if I'd, you know, stuck to it and not got in my own way. But I suppose my next question to both of you actually is, when it comes to that go with the flow, get out of our own way type of thing, how have you found that that has made a huge difference on your life? Are you trying to not control it now, or were you already that way before you came into the rooms of AA, Toby?
I have no idea.
Mm.
I suppose part of me was just go with the flow, didn't care, didn't do whatever.
Well, this is one of the things I'm thinking. What about you, Sue? What was it like for you? Were you trying to control everything? You did mention before you're exhausted.
I'm very sort of passionate about what I do, and I can. That's been quite good with maintaining that excitement, that energy, the capacity, but just. Like even the simplest task of listening, letting people finish what they were saying, talking to me in a meeting or with students, being more generous. So, yeah, that's getting, for me, that would be a sort of a version of getting out of my own way.
Yeah. I wonder.
I mean, it's a very tiny kind of just more practical example, but that's my world in a way. Yeah, in a sense. That's how I sort of think.
Yeah, I do wonder it's a difference between us with age, because I don't know, maybe Toby, you're still in that age group where it is still, I remember what I was like at your age. It was free and easy, and it was going out and just going with the flow and partying, and there wasn't anything serious. There was nothing about, it's a little bit about career, but, you know, the world was still in front of you. As life progressed for me, and I suppose for my drinking, I felt that I had to control things more because it was getting out of hand. And maybe the time of being in that role, by the time I walked into AA, I was exhausted. I was glad to hear that I was an alcoholic. At 25, I didn't want to hear that at all. You know? I had too much to do. It makes me think of your bucket list.
Yeah. I mean, I've spent also so much of my life with so many things being out of my control, but still controlled to, like, the minute that, you know, as soon as I was able to get out of home and and do stuff, I was just like, cool, let's do anything and everything. Oh, you've got plans for soon, for when? Like, the next 2 minutes? Sure thing, I'll be there. Spontaneous plans are my ride or die at the moment. Like, I impulse trips to Melbourne on my six-month anniversary, because there was a concert of a band I wanted to go see. So I was just like, cool, I've got the money, let's go. Like, 6 weeks it took me from deciding to get in there. I didn't even have a passport at the beginning of that process.
Wow. See, I flew by the seat of my pants like that to go something. Life was for living in my world. It was a bit like you're talking about, that exhilaration you needed. So I must say, in that last 5 years of drinking, there wasn't that happening. So it was very isolating.
Mm. Yeah, I had this experience towards the last year or so, and it's like I was standing back and just watching everything, kind of the tide go out, and I'm like, is this going to come back in? You know, like, and just watching this really slow-mo implosion, and I knew what was happening. I could see it. I thought, I'm a bright person. I can change this. I can pull on the handbrake. And then I just watched this at all, and I knew something would happen, and I couldn't do much about it. And then I'm like, I don't need to do anything about it. So it just got, you know. So metaphorically, that's a rock bottom, right? If you're just almost like you just lost interest. I mean, that's quite a scary place to be, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
It occurs a lot in the rooms of AA.
You're listening to AA Live on ORFM Dunedin.
It's lovely to have our listeners out there with us this evening. We're almost at the end of the show, and I wanted to just acknowledge your recovery, Toby, if I could, as a person that's watched you since you've come in and spent time with you out of the rooms and in the rooms. And it's been a pleasure to watch you progress and find yourself. And I know there's so much growth yet to go, which, you know, it is going to be worth it, I suppose, is what I wanted to say. Because I don't know about you guys, but I remember in that period thinking, oh, this is all so hard. There's so much to tackle right now because I was tackling so much of my past. And sometimes it just looked like it was overwhelming and really big. So I hope you stick at it because you're a valuable person, a very valuable person to have in the room. So thanks for coming in and sharing the evening with us.
Yeah, really appreciate it because yeah, it means a lot, you know, and it means a lot to people hearing another voice, a version or a living sort of existence, you know, off what it is like to be in recovery. Amazing. Thanks.
I appreciate the chance to come in. So,
thanks. Hey, I'll just do a couple of housekeeping things. Alcoholics Anonymous, it's based on the 12-step program, which you heard us talking about earlier. For those that aren't sure what that means, the 12 steps outline a path to spiritual progress through a series of actions designed to elicit what the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous refers to as a psychic change. It's a complete mental, emotional, and spiritual shift in perception. We believe that the 12 steps can be a critical element in the long-term recovery program. So as we say, it's a spiritual program. Thank you for spending the evening with us. If you want to drink, well, that is your business. If you want to stop, we can help. And we're on air once a month, so please do dial on into AA Live at Otago Access Radio on 105.4 FM. You can also give us a call if you're out there struggling and thinking, do I need help? I'd like to talk to somebody. On our 0800 AA Works lines, you'll get one of us, or not actually one of us personally, but a person in recovery through the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. So you can call on 0800 AA Works. That is 0800 229 6757. We also have a fantastic website for AA. Excuse me, if you jump onto aa.org.nz, that website has many a questionnaire, references, things that can help. I have to say, I think it's a valuable website. Very good. Now, Sue has got something good for us to listen to take us out this evening. So I'm going to let her close us off.
That? Fantastic.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd play something quite exciting, just a bit of good old Drag Race RuPaul. So here we go. Thank you, everyone.
Take care out there. Until next time, Mati wa.
Give giving all you could to the relationship. Like a full-time job, 9 to 5, you gotta work it, work it. But the best of you has yet to arrive. All the love inside is all the love you ever needed, needed. All the dreams you had, all the things you wanted. Don't turn your back, it's not too late. You better love yourself before you love somebody. Love somebody, love somebody. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Amen. Say hello, goodbye, maybe another try. After a while you fight history repeating, beating, till you realize your love is alive. All the love inside is all the love you ever needed, needed. All the dreams you had, all the things you wanted. Don't turn your back, it's not too late. You better love yourself before you love somebody. Love somebody, love somebody. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Amen. There's a fork in the road, which way will you go? You standing still or will you step into the great unknown? It's yours to decide. This is your life. This is your life. Can I get an amen?
Can I get an amen? If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else?
Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Can I get an amen?
All the dreams
can I
you
get an
had,
amen?
All the things
you can't
wanted,
love yourself,
don't turn
how in the hell
back,
you gonna love somebody
it's
else?
Not
can
too
I
late.
Get an amen?
You better love
can
yourself.
Can I get an amen?
You love
if you
somebody,
can't love yourself,
love
how
somebody,
in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Amen.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.